What a wonderful morning we're having together. Amen. A verse that just came to me this morning as we were fellowshipping together, it was, just put my glasses on. I think most of you will recognize it. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And just as we were fellowshipping this morning, I just had a strong sense that we're having a feast today. And, you know, when we come on a Sunday that God has prepared, you know, it's maybe not a physical feast as such, though that's good too. But we are in God's presence and in a sense, feasting together with the Lord as his community. And my encouragement is to keep on doing that. You know, that's the purpose of coming to church, fellowshipping with the Lord, being in his presence, hearing his voice, sharing our hearts with him, hearing his heart. Amen. Message this morning, I want to bring us a short message. And it's from a passage in the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel. And I want to ask the question first up. What kind of things define our lives? What kind of things define your lives, and your life and my life? What kind of qualities has you as a believer, has God been developing in you? What kind of spiritual formation, as the buzzword these days, is happening in your life? A few years ago, a friend of ours in Kazakhstan, a friend of hers husband died, and at the funeral, good Kazakh tradition, people stood up and sort of said something about the person who died, and they were saying all sorts of nice things, like, oh, he was a wonderful man, a great, you know, family guy, worked hard, no debts, lots of great things. And my friend's friend, she turned around and she said to our friend, she said, gee, I don't know who they were talking about. It certainly wasn't my husband. But it's in Kazakh culture, you have to know the culture to understand what's going on there. But it's got stuff to do with wanting favor from the ancestor spirits. We've got people call themselves Muslims, but it's also mixed with this old shamanistic religion as well. And so they think favor, if they say good things, it'll bring favor to the family. What would people say about you if you died today? God forbid that you do, but would they say, you know, what would your family say, your friends say? What would your non-Christian friends at work, your work colleagues say? Would they say, great bloke, passionate Eagles supporter, but went to McDonald's far too much? Or would they say, called himself a Christian, but didn't seem to have much to show for it? Ouch. Or, you know, will they say, that guy really loved God. Wasn't perfect, but worked hard, great family man. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what people think about us, does it? Because it's only what God thinks about. But, you know, we still get an indication of where we're at listening to other people sometimes. Today I want to, as I said, look at this short passage, and it's a well-known passage. It's from Daniel chapter 6, and it's the lion's den passage. And I could retell this story probably reasonably well, but I'm going to let the Bible tell the story, because it's better. It can do a better job than I can. And it's a very concise section. But just to give you an introduction to this, Daniel, he's an older man at this stage. He's probably even in his 80s. And he's been serving God openly all his life, and he's been serving in the government, government roles. He and his fellow Jews were taken into captivity to Babylon many years before he was a young man. Been living in this foreign land under a foreign ruler, but chosen to serve in these high-ranking government roles. And God blessed his time serving under these foreign kings and gave him great positions of power and influence in what was going on. And at this particular time, in this passage, the ruler's name is Darius, and he's just set up a new system of government, and Daniel was one of his top administrators under the king. So let's just read this passage together. So it's Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom. Satrap basically is a governor, just that'll be repeated a few times. So 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel was so distinguished himself amongst the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So the administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "O King Darius, live forever." I don't think that would happen here, would it, with Kevin? But a different type of system back then. The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, O king, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Then these men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. So they went to the king and spoke to him about his royal decree. "Did you not publish a decree that during the next 30 days, anyone who prays to any god or man except to you, O king, will be thrown into the lion's den?" The king answered, "The decree stands in accordance with the laws of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be repealed." Then they said to the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day." When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to the king and said to him, "Remember, O king, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed." So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you." The stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to the palace and spent the night without eating, without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, Has your God, whom you serve, continually been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered after brushing his teeth, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, O king. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den, and when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in, thrown into the lion's den along with their wives and children. Pretty rough. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language throughout the land, May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he's the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Wow. A pagan king making a decree like that. Wow. Praise God. Let's pray before I just share a couple of things from this passage. Father, I thank you for the privilege of knowing you. I thank you today, Lord, we are your children. And Lord, I pray that you will open this scripture to us. Speak to us, Lord. May our hearts be open to hear what you have to say to your church this day. And Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you in their heart yet, Lord, I pray that you will open their hearts and speak to them. In Jesus' name, amen. So just three things I'd like to bring out of this passage. Three things that marked, I believe, that marked Daniel's life. We don't see the whole of Daniel's life in this passage, obviously. There's five chapters before this and several after that we can get a full picture. But from this passage, there's a couple of things that I think that we can really learn about this man of God. Firstly, his life was defined by a strong work ethic. As we can see, he lived an exemplary life to others. He walked the walk. He didn't just talk the talk. And it's exactly the same for us as God's children. He wants us to have this kind of work ethic through our lives, through the years. Verse 3 to 5, we see it highlighted. We see that Daniel had exceptional qualities. It says there was no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. And what about you and me? How do we match up to that? Wow. Are we, you know, living as God's children should in our workplace, in school, college, in the home, if we're homemaker or a housewife like me, young. She's a lot more than. Where are we today in terms of this life, in terms of this work ethic in our lives? Daniel, he was a man that, you know, diligent, hardworking throughout his life. He's in his 80s right now, but God has had his hand on him to be especially involved. Governing a foreign kingdom. He was one of the top administrators in the whole kingdom. And you can imagine the influence he had. You can imagine the laws that he would have brought into place. You can imagine how he protected God's people as well through his influence. And everyone saw it and knew it, that Daniel was beyond reproach, and therefore they tried to find something to get to him. The second thing from this passage we pick out is that Daniel's life was defined by a deep devotional life. He was a man with a regular and active prayer life. And in the same way, God is calling us, each of us, to have that deep relationship with the Lord, isn't he? In verse 10, we read that three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. I wonder, was Daniel's very successful, very powerful life, was that linked to his devotional life? What do you think? I think it probably was. I think it definitely was. This is at least the fourth time in his life where actually Daniel was faced by a life-death situation as well. And what we can see in this passage is that his walk with the Lord, his relationship with God carried him through each time. And if I ask you today, ask myself today, to describe your devotional life, what would you say? What would you say? Since we've been back, we've been watching a little bit of TV. This is a confession, okay? And we have been enjoying a little bit of MasterChef. Now, is anyone else a bit of a MasterChef fan? Okay, a few people. We're probably getting a little bit sick of it right now, but you know, what a job tasting food, you know, just eating. These three guys, you know, just sort of getting rid of these people, you know, like judging and then eating this delicious food, I think. But in the spiritual sense, we are, and by the way, this last week was WA and they were enjoying all this beautiful fish and stuff. Oh, delicious. In the spiritual sense, God is calling us to have, you know, rich fellowship with him. Just the verse, the scriptures I shared with you a bit earlier, you know, to enjoy the feast God has prepared for us, not only as individuals at home, but also corporately, building community of God, enjoying that devotional, building devotional life together. Both are important. Amen. So in terms of your own devotional life, how does it work for you? That's my question. Morning, evening, asking yourself some hard questions like, where did I sense God present with me today? Where do I need to give God thanks and praise today for what he did for me? Quite often we just go through life so fast, we forget how amazing God has been working in the small things of each day. But where were those times today or yesterday where God was distant? Where did I stuff up? Where did I sin? And where do I need to repent and get my attitude changed? We need to do that as well. Deep devotional life. Someone said that for Daniel, not even the lions were going to interrupt his daily quiet time. Not even the lions were going to interrupt his daily quiet time. How about for you and me? What interrupts us spending time with God? TV, internet, newspapers, iPads, Facebook, computer games, whatever it is. Let's get our priorities right. Let's make the main things the main things. In Kazakhstan, more recently, there's been quite a persecution's been building up. And just in May, two pastors were put in prison. One for meeting together to pray with some people from his church, singing, and also spiking the communion wine with hallucinogenic drugs. It's just ridiculous. Sitting in prison for 2 months right now. A Baptist pastor was put in prison for 3 days recently. Why? Just for getting together to worship with some people from his church, because his church isn't registered, because he doesn't have 50 members. And even if he did have 50 members, actually, this guy wasn't going to register anyway. But how unjust. So how's our devotional life? Are we enjoying being a believer? Are we basking in the relationship with God and with his people? Are we standing up when distractions come and just keeping it a priority in our life, in our lives? Are we guarding our devotional lives against attacks that come from the world? What a privilege we have to access the King of Kings. What a privilege we have. We live in the day of the Lord's favor. The last thing from this passage marks Daniel's life is that he has had a healthy respect for authority. He submitted himself to these foreign kings. And this actually brought great blessing and promotion throughout his life. And in our lives, we also need to have this built in, this respect for authority. Australia is probably one of the flattest in terms of hierarchy and so on, structures in the world. So there's a danger that we can kind of not submit to authority, that we can just pass it off. But actually, authority is a God-ordained thing. The problem is when it's abused. But in God's standards, God has brought authority as an important part that all of us need to be active in following. Look at the attitude Daniel has in verse 21. You know, when the king came out and after he brushed his teeth, he said, "Oh king, live forever." And I don't believe that was just, you know, scoffing. It was sincere. And he said, you know, "My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent, nor have I done any wrong before you, O king." You know, Daniel, he actually met Jesus when he was in the lion's den. I believe he just had fellowship that night with Jesus, just like his mates had before when they were chucked into the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was a fourth person. Who was it? I believe it was Jesus there too. This is the third foreign king that Daniel served under, but he always maintained this respect and for the authority. And you know, he didn't say to Darius, "You idiot! You know, why did you get me into this lion's den because of your big ego?" No, he submitted. Still. And so he lived this life respecting this authority over him. And this led to him being one of the most influential governors and lawmakers in the land for, you know, we're looking at 60 plus years. Quite an achievement. And yeah, I'm sure God used him in many ways to protect God's people as well in this. How about us? How are we in terms of this having this healthy respect for authority in our lives, in our bosses at work, in our teachers, to our pastors, to our government? But there may be a time that the line gets crossed, like in Daniel's situation here, where a restrictive law gets passed. You know, what would happen if the authorities came in here this morning and said, "No more church for 30 days. New laws just come in." How would you feel? This is the situation that Daniel was in, and he refused to submit to that law because the line had been crossed. God's law was is above worldly laws. Amen. And through making this stand, we see that just another incredible miracle came through Daniel for his own life and for his people's. Each time in these situations where he made a stand, three things happened. He was delivered and promoted. He survived the lion's den and met Jesus, as I said. His enemies were destroyed, and his accusers ended up being killed themselves. And finally, the king promoted Daniel, but the king gave glory to God as well throughout the kingdom. God was glorified through Daniel's life. That's key for us. As we read in verse 25 to 27, I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he's the living God. God brought revelation to the king through this whole situation. And God's name was glorified throughout the land again. So we must live to glorify the Lord in our lives. And we can learn some of the things that were key for Daniel. This strong work ethic, a deep devotional life, and a healthy respect for authorities. And as we seek to serve God in our situations, the context that we are in, and make those stands where we need to make those stands in our life. Life is not always easy. The older you get, the more difficult situations you've been through. I'm sure some people can relate to me. So young people, it's all ahead of you. But as you build that foundation into your lives, you know, following God, he'll be with you through every situation, bring you through for his glory. Yeah, let's pray. Yeah, just as we have our eyes closed and heads bowed, I want to invite anyone here. If you've never met Jesus before, if Jesus is not Lord of your life, but you would like to accept him into your life today and ask him to be Lord of your life, he will forgive your sins, every sin that you've committed in the past, present, and even in the future are covered by Jesus' death on the cross 2,000 years ago. If you'd like to accept Jesus into your life today and start a new life with him, I just want to give you an opportunity. So if you'd like to raise up your hand, I'd like to pray for you. Is there anyone here and you don't know Jesus? Okay, and those of you here, if there's anyone here who, you know, God's been speaking to you today, maybe it's something to do with work. Maybe it's something to do with your walk with him, daily devotional or authority. And you would like to ask God's help in this situation. If you would like to raise up your hand, I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to call you to the front, but I just want to pray for you where you are. Is there anyone here? Anyone else? Yep. I see your hand, yeah. Thank you. Lord, to walk with you day by day, minute by minute, Lord, we want to serve you, Father. We want to give our lives, Lord, for the call you have on us. We want to use our gifts and abilities to serve your church, Lord. We want to build your church in this place. We want to see City View make an impact in this suburb, in this city, for your glory, Lord. Father, as we want to give our lives to you, Father, that you would use us to the best of our abilities, Lord. Develop those things in us. Father, for those in work situations, Lord, that you will help us, Lord, to walk with you, Lord, in a way that Daniel be an influencer in our workplace, whatever that is, whether it's in the home, whether it's in a government office or a business. Lord, may we be influencers for your kingdom, I pray. Lord, I pray for those of us struggling in our devotional lives to really walk as we should with you, Lord. May we just have the discipline to set aside the distractions, Lord, to throw them out and to make you number one in our daily walk, Lord. And Father, for those struggling with the area of authority, Father, I pray that you would give us humility, Lord, that you would help us to see your standards, Father, how you work through authority. And may we be humble in those situations as you would want us to be, Lord. But Lord, in those situations that come to us where challenges that are step over the line, Father, that you would give us the guts, that you would give us the courage to stand. As Daniel even faced death, Lord, give us even that kind of courage that we will make a stand and come through for your glory alone, Lord, that your name will be lifted high in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community, in our workplaces, Lord. To the ends of the earth, Lord, wherever we are, that God is calling us, that you will work in those, throughout our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name.